Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. On the schedule, we were going to do the ceremony for Samantabhadra. So I was asked to do a talk related to Samantabhadra. I'm not an expert at all on this subject, but Samantabhadra is the bodhisattva or the embodiment of love, of universal goodness, and represents the practice of activity in stillness and stillness in activity. It's said that universal love, universal goodness permeates all, everything. And it might be, you might wonder, how could it permeate the horrible things, including our own stupidity? And it's actually our own stupidity, our own falling short of awareness is part of the active unfolding of the truth. And we discover it through the combination of our commitment to the precepts or to trying to do good and meditation. And in our meditation, what can arise, what often arises, is the very things that we've done that are contrary to the truth and are contrary to the precepts. And together with that arises the feeling too that we actually have the Buddha nature. So how does this work? It's very humbling, actually, to find out that at the same time we're all right, we're all wrong. It just keeps moving along. And one of the ways this comes up is, here we are sitting in meditation so long, studying Buddhism so long, and yet where are all these signs of enlightenment? You know, on the one hand, we may think we're enlightened and then discover, well, I haven't actually experienced the eternal, or I haven't actually experienced yellow gold filling my body, or I haven't actually experienced being enveloped in joy, being bathed in freedom. Or maybe I've experienced a little, but I'm not experiencing it all the time. So maybe there's something I'm not seeing. And that's the beginning of further learning. Because as one monk used to put it, the teaching just reaches right in your heart and says, you're right, there's something you're not seeing. And so you open up to more. You go beyond the duality a bit of being good or bad, enlightened or not, measured. Any measurement basically implies a duality. You go beyond it, and yet you can't abandon your awareness of that something needs to be done. You can't abandon that. It comes back at you, no matter where you are, when you're committed to training. For example, you can be breaking a precept and not realize it. Say, take a precept like being proud of yourself and devaluing others. And it turns out that to be proud of yourself actually is to devalue others. It's and to be proud of yourself is to listen to yourself more than others. It's to not see the Buddha in others. It's in a sense to speak against others. So when you're living in a community of trainees, this shows very obviously. I forget what wise person said, we cannot read what is written on our own foreheads, but everyone else can. The people around you will be noticing where you're bumping into things, or in my case, where I'm absent-minded, or a million other things I could name. And your response can be, well, so-and-so is acting like an idiot, and therefore I don't have to listen to them. Or so-and-so, not that I ever think that. Or so-and-so is not, they're wrong. They're wrong about something, therefore I don't have to listen. But if we want to learn and change, then there has to be a kind of listening where we understand that right and wrong exist together. And so even though someone may say your blue shoes are getting all over the carpet and your shoes aren't blue and it was actually the dog that did the problem on the carpet, there's still something to be listened to in that. And it's not furthering your own training to argue about it, in a sense. It's more to let go of the defensiveness that will arise when you bump into someone, or someone bumps into you, or corrects you, as they say. It's interesting. I was just thinking about mistakes in general, and how so many leaders who are known for their mistakes, what seems to accompany those mistakes is a lack of humility. And so I looked up humility, and I found this. There's societies dedicated to goodness, and they have a special subject of humility. And one of the first steps they recommend for learning humility is to listen to others. And I think be mindful. There are a couple more, but then I looked at the bottom and I said the article it came from was how humility can make you a great person, which I thought was kind of entertainingly ironic, you know, how very humble I am. But in any case, I'll just go back to my thought, which is that the Dharma body of the Buddha cannot be seen so long as one is within duality, for it is beyond birth and death, filling all things. So we may have experiences of this going beyond duality, where all openings are quiet, where the earth is a world of light and brilliancy. But those don't mean that we're enlightened. We're not the unborn, and there is nothing in us that is not of the unborn. These are confirmatory experiences, not confirming that we're enlightened, but confirming that we're on the path. Always we must be disturbed by the truth. If you feel that you can, or if I feel that I can handle something, or I'm comfortable with something, rarely happens around here, but if I feel that I'm comfortable with something, it's a sign that I've got to move on, I've got to do something. It's a sign that you're about to indulge in a mistake if you try to hide in comfort or reside in comfort. But going back to Samantabhadra being universal goodness pervading all, and being love, of the compassion, love, and wisdom are the three sort of realms that we, that are in a sense the answer to greed, hatred, and delusion. And this love is, oh, I guess you could try to practice it. It wouldn't hurt. But it also just seems to arise. And it may arise in dreams. At first, you may have this sense of love in dreams, or you may have it just in the beauty of a moment of sunlight coming through the window, or the way a child will be silly but full of joy at the same time, or any one of a number of things can be a little opening into this love. And another way you can get a glimpse of it is to look at the behavior or the body language or the Dharma body language of a teacher, someone who's been at this for many decades. You can see that they respect even insentient beings and treat them with care. And once it begins to arise, it's so welcome. In fact, that's one of the words that is given when someone is teaching about the precepts. You don't, when you discover that you have made mistakes and you, in a sense, are an utter fool, what happens is not just sort of, I told you so, or I hope you learned a lesson from this, but what arises is just the sense of welcome from the teachers, from the Buddhas. Welcome. Now let's go ahead. The next thing to do is to let go of the next thing that comes up. It doesn't hurt to think you're an utter fool, and yet you know that's not the whole truth. But it's part of the truth, and it's a good part to remember. I've been going through the offertories, and one of the phrases from the offertories for different ceremonies comes to mind as the last thing I'll try to say today, which is, wherever a true heart exists, there the Dharma springs up also. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha.